The Educational Alchemist Podcast. Welcome to the Educational Alchemist Podcast. I'm Emma.
And I'm James.
Yes, you are. Hello, James. As you know, here we explore how ordinary moments become leadership gold. Today, James and I are discussing Chapter 2 of Tony Gwaeig Lea's book, The Educational Alchemist, Turning Ordinary Moments into Leadership Gold. The chapter is titled The Art of Noticing and a Word About Mental Health.
Yes, Emma. The title fits because Tony's argument is that meaningful leadership often begins before anyone speaks. It begins when a leader notices that something has changed.
One of the opening lines is wonderfully direct. Some leaders speak first. Tony learned to notice first. He describes noticing not as suspicion or hypervigilance, but as presence. It is seeing the student who lingers at the doorway, the teacher whose usual spark has dimmed, or the staff member who suddenly stops making eye contact.
Those details may look insignificant, but they can be the first signs that someone is overwhelmed, grieving, anxious, frightened, or caring too much.
That is why Tony calls noticing a strategic skill, not merely a soft one. Leaders make better decisions when they understand the emotional landscape around them. You cannot support people you have not taken the time to see.
The chapter makes an important distinction. Educators are not therapists and should not diagnose mental health conditions. But they are often the first adults outside the home to notice a change.
That may be a teacher, counsellor, secretary, coach, bus driver, cafeteria worker, aide or custodian. Each sees a different part of a student's day. Together, they form a network of support.
Tony offers a practical lens: frequency, duration, and impact. Is this one difficult morning, or has the change continued for weeks? Is it typical or sharply different? Is it affecting learning, relationships, safety, or daily functioning?
Those questions slow adults down and move us from labelling toward understanding. Distress often hides behind behaviour. Anxiety may resemble defiance. Depression may be mistaken for laziness. Fear can look like disrespect. Grief can emerge as anger.
Yet the chapter never says accountability should disappear.
Quite the opposite. Schools need boundaries, structure, and safety. But behaviour should be understood before it is addressed. A school can correct conduct without crushing dignity and hold a line without humiliating a child. The important question is, what is this behaviour trying to tell us?
Not as an excuse, but as a way to respond more precisely.
Dr. Gwaeig Lea also considers social media. Students carry comparison, rumours, bullying, embarrassment, and conflict in their pockets. A problem no longer ends at the school door. It can continue through the night, across the weekend, and return to class on Monday.
Adults may see only the final reaction, not the hours or days that produced it.
The answer is not to pry or assume. It is to notice, ask better questions, and respond steadily. Resilience is not built by telling young people to toughen up. It grows through supportive relationships, coping skills, connection, regulation, critical thinking, and being seen without being shamed.
And Tony applies the same principle to adults. Staff arrive at school carrying strained marriages, aging parents, children in crisis, health worries, grief, financial pressure, and exhaustion.
A leader who fails to notice may mistake fatigue for attitude, grief for weakness, anxiety for resistance, or pain for poor performance.
Leaders are also trusted with confidential information.
Tony uses a memorable phrase: the leader has to be the vault. People may assume a leader knows nothing because the leader says nothing. In reality, restraint may show that the leader knows a great deal and is protecting someone's dignity.
The chapter's central story brings these ideas together. Tony writes about a deaf teacher he calls Mr. Didi. Others often saw abrupt communication, frustration, or emotion. Tony saw a person working hard to be understood.
When a cooperative education position opened, Tony recognised potential others had overlooked. Mr. Didi earned the opportunity and became outstanding in the role. Tony mentored him, helped him navigate systems, and encouraged him to place himself where he could create change.
Then the teacher's personal life collapsed. His marriage ended painfully, and his distress became visible at school.
Tony could not repair his life for him, but he could listen, protect his privacy, and provide steadiness. Years later, the teacher's brother explained how deeply the family had worried and thanked Tony for helping him heal.
Tony does not present himself as the hero.
No, the teacher did the hard work of surviving and rebuilding. The lesson is that sometimes leadership means being steady enough for another person to borrow your steadiness until they can recover their own.
That is a powerful definition of empathy.
Empathy is not agreement, it is acknowledgement. It is seeing the person beneath the behaviour and recognising potential where others see only problems.
The chapter then widens from individuals to culture. A leader who notices can sense morale slipping, communication weakening, or frustration becoming toxic before the damage is obvious.
Prevention is often more powerful than repair. Noticing gives a leader time to ask, listen, clarify, bring in support, protect dignity, and choose the right response rather than the easiest one.
But Tony is honest about the cost. The more a leader notices, the more emotional weight that leader may carry.
He reflects on his professional quality of life assessment. Helping others gave him purpose and strong compassion satisfaction, but years of crisis, confidential conversations, grief and responsibility also left a residue. His conclusion is essential. He was not tired because he cared too little. He was tired because he cared so much.
So the goal is not to stop caring.
It is to care with wisdom, boundaries, recovery and support. So service remains a calling rather than becoming a consumption. The joy of helping and the weight of helping can live in the same heart.
Chapter 2 asks readers to become more present. Notice the change in tone. Notice the silence. Notice the person behaving differently. Then respond without rushing to judgment.
That is why Tony Gua Igzlia's book speaks not only to educators, but to administrators, parents, mentors, counselors, civic leaders, and anyone responsible for other people. It shows that leadership is often less about having the perfect answer and more about paying close enough attention to ask the right question.
The chapter offers practical guidance, but it also gives readers a different way of seeing.
The Educational Alchemist, Turning Ordinary Moments into Leadership Gold, is a book about presence, dignity, courage, and the belief that improvement is possible. Chapter 2 may change how readers interpret behaviour and understand the quiet signals people send before they are ready to ask for help. It is available now at www.thegrandpalife.com. In fact, lots of pragmatic apps reside there.
And the full book carries that idea into crisis leadership, culture, transformation, succession, and preparing others to continue the work.
Purchase The Educational Alchemist, Turning Ordinary Moments into Leadership Gold by Tony Gua Igzlia, PhD, to experience the complete stories and leadership framework. It is a thoughtful companion for anyone who believes ordinary moments are often the ones that matter most.
Because the gold may already be there.
We simply have to notice it. Thank you for listening.